Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, July 4th, 2017, and this is episode 126 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. And with me today, celebrating Merca's birthday from the penis of the United States, Eric Nathanson. Eric, what's up, man? Has anyone blown their hands off in Florida yet?
No, but it's America's Wang, so it's bound to happen. It's actually been pretty quiet this year and calm for, I think, the heat. You know, kind of kept everybody away because the heat makes you dumber. So you think there'd be more, but it hasn't happened yet. So hopefully it won't happen.
That's good. Yeah. We're doing a little bit of an odd recording time today. Things didn't work out last night, so we're doing it on America's birthday, but that's okay. We're going to honor the Giants and America at the same time.
Hey, Giants are playing right now. Why not?
And they're playing right now. What is the score? Is it 1-0 still?
Yeah. Pence's homer is it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let's get right to it. This team is surprising us. They're very strange in what they do from week to week. But now suddenly, despite being on track for 106 losses, they now have won six in a row. So first question to you, Eric, how have they won six in a row?
Who knows? Apparently, pole vaulting over mouse turds is how they won six in a row. It was a week ago yesterday that article from Ken Rosenthal came out, and it was revealed that Melanson changed the stretching times, and the chemistry might not be the same in the clubhouse, and Right. And the whole team kind of seemed to respond. And when Bochy was asked about, is chemistry the problem in moving stretching times, he said that's pole vaulting over mouse turds because the season had been a bunch of mouse turds up until these last six games. And somehow they've like responded. They seem like a fun, good team that wants to play for each other. Like, I don't know if we can thank the article for that, but it seems to have been a springboard time.
It has. And they are undefeated in the mouse turd era.
Right.
As they like to say. I mean, Brandon Belt was being interviewed after Sunday's game, and he was really jovial, cracking jokes as he always has. But he said, yeah, the clubhouse, attitude and mood is just fantastic right now. They're having fun playing ball again. And it's good to see. It definitely seems like the demeanor amongst all the players is much better. And you can point to a lot of things this week besides the mouse turds. Obviously, the bullpen's been fantastic. They've been getting key hits. Starting pitching has been fine. So it's just kind of all come together. Now, that said, you take the worst team every year in Major League Baseball, and they almost always have a 5 or 6 game winning streak somewhere in the year. It just happens, right? It's baseball. You run into it a few times. So I'm hoping that this is not one of those cases, that this is not a mirage, this is not a statistical oddity, and they go right back to losing like they were before. I'm hoping that, maybe there's something they can hang their hat on and actually finish the season a little bit stronger. No one's talking playoffs, anyone. Eric and I are not delusional. We're not delusional, but at least not to finish with an embarrassing record,
Well, they need to. The guys, I think, know they're playing for their jobs at this point, and if they want to stick around, they have to show that they want to stick around. This is a different team, though, than we've seen all year. And it's funny, you said it was a good mixture of bullpen and timely hitting. Their victory on Sunday was the sixth victory of the season after not scoring in the first six innings of the game.
Oh,
so
wow.
They're getting hits. Yeah, they're getting hits in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. And they're also in extra innings. Where is it? Extra inning games are 8-3. So they're winning like the late close games like a really good team would do. The problem is they were still blown out a few times in other parts of the season.
Yeah, I think they're also 19-3 when scoring four or more runs, which is telling. Man, that's an excellent record. And four runs isn't a tremendous amount, but it also tells you. 26 and 13. I was thinking 19-3 is maybe the six runs or more, or leading after six or something like that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so that's still a pretty good record for scoring four or more runs, and it's an indication, again, of just the lack of offense. You know, when their starting pitching actually isn't horrible. It's not great. We know that. You look at the numbers. But a lot of those inflated numbers come from some of the blowouts they had, especially earlier in the year. You know, they're getting blown out 13-0, 11-2, those kinds of things. And so those kind of skew the numbers a tiny bit. But the fact that, you know, they're hanging in there and they have the second most quality starts in the major leagues tells you that on a consistent basis, they're not that bad. Now, you know, I have an interesting opinion about quality starts. I think the benchmark should have been a little bit better than that, where it is, a little bit higher. It's three earned runs or less in six innings or more. Well, if you give up three runs in six innings, that's a 4.5 ERA, and it's a quality start. And that's like questionable to me.
That's
to be honest.
Fifth starter status. You want the guy to go like 7-2 more so.
Yeah. So, you know, out of those 40-something quality starts, I would love to kind of break it down and see how many of them were three earned runs in 6 to 7 innings. You know, kind of that range. And if it's a huge majority or a huge percentage, it kind of it puts a little, you know, shit on the sparkle, I guess, on that number. It's not like a bunch of shutouts.
Well, I mean, the thing is we've complained so much in the past about, you know, like Sharks had some great starts this year where they didn't score for them. So they're finally starting to score for them. So the pitching can allow, you know, three runs in six innings and still get by with a quote unquote quality start because the offense is starting to pick them up a little bit.
So here they are sitting after six wins in a row, still, I believe, 18 games under 500. Not even close to sniffing the playoffs. 15 games back of the wild card, 20-something back of the West. We all know the dire situation that they're in terms of playoffs. However, there are still fans that you see out on social media that don't seem to be grounded in reality and think that, oh my God, if they only win another 26 in a row, they have a chance. You know, that kind of thing. they see six in a row and they get a little too excited, I'd say. But Marty Lurie, the host of the local KNBR postgame show, was on Sunday, and I was home, and my kids and my wife were out at their play, so I had a very rare opportunity to just kind of sit and chill after some yard work and listen to the show. And he had tweeted out, hey, they've won six in a row. Do you still think the Giants should be, you know, sellers at the trade deadline? And of course, my immediate reaction is like, well, yeah, of course. I mean, why wouldn't they be? They're still ridiculously far behind. But he did start getting callers that said, hey, you never know, never say never. They could make it, you know, you know, all you pessimistic Giants fans. And it's like, no, it's not about pessimism. It's about realism.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I took the opportunity to call into his show and pretty much got in right away. So I wanted to go ahead and play that short clip. So here I am calling in as Chad and Gilroy. Not torture cast. Our Marty Lurie show on Sunday.
Now let's go to Chad in Gilroy. Chad, you're on KNBR 680. Go ahead.
Hey, Marty. How you doing today?
Good. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, it's a rare time I get to sit down and actually listen to your show after a game. The kids and the wife are out, so I'm just smoking some ribs and listening, and I figured I'd just give you a call here about the trade deadline and what they should do or not.
All right. I'm jealous. Go ahead.
I know. It's a nice Sunday. So one of the things I was looking at was basically the number of wins that might be required to sneak into the playoffs. And I know most of us are rational beings and understand that those chances are extremely slim, but I wanted to kind of look at the actual probability of it. And if you look at the last 5 years during the expansion of the wild card, basically since 2010, there's been 10 teams. And the average wins for each of those wild card or altogether is 91 wins. And the lowest that have ever gotten into the wild card were both the Giants and the Mets last year with 87. Mm-hmm. So if you put 87 as the absolute low benchmark, and I'm not talking about chasing Colorado now because they also have eight teams between them and Colorado. Right. So you can't just focus on the team that's necessarily in the lead right now because certainly one of those other teams of those eight are probably going to catch a hot streak and maybe even surpass Colorado. Right. So it'll be another team to catch. Anyway, to get to 87 wins, the Giants have to go 54-24, and that's 692 ball. And the problem with that is no team in the modern era has had a half as good or better than that, except for the 2001 Seattle Mariners, which did that in the first half.
Right. Now, the only thing I would say is this. Last year, the first half was 57-33. Now, that was 90 games. Of course, here...
Right, and that was 6-33.
Right,
exactly.
Here we have, you know, fewer games. And I don't think anyone's really arguing, well, they're going to, you know, go... what do they have, 70, 78 games to go? I forget what the number is. I think 78 to go.
78.
Yeah, so no one's saying they're going to go 60-18. You know, it's not, you know, that's not realistic. But the point of this is just to kind of make it competitive and just get back into it where you say, hey, what's Colorado doing today? What are the Mets doing today? What are the Cubs doing today? And instead of being 25 out, get to 8 or 9 out and make it interesting for a couple of months. And the problem with these numbers, you can't go backwards. Because if you win 6 straight, you better win 12 out of 13. If you win 6 straight and then lose 8 of 9, you're back to 20-some-odd out, and then, you know, the hole just gets deeper. You'll never get out of it. So kind of the fun of these 6 games is to say, boy, let's see Colorado lose a few more and the Giants win a few more. As Joe pointed out, the schedule is a little bit favorable, and sort of make it interesting. And I think that's the way you do it. If you look at the numbers, as you say, the raw numbers, it's virtually impossible to say you're going to do that after, you know, even with the team you have. Because, you know, and today home runs are crazy. Everyone's hitting millions of home runs. They don't hit home runs like that, you know, to win games like that. So my point is the numbers are overwhelming, as you say, but just make it interesting. Get it closer to, so Colorado says, oh, yeah, here comes Bumgarner and Cueto and Samardzija. Maybe we have to look at them.
No, the question about making it interesting is a fun one, because certainly, I think as Giants fans, we all want them to be competitive.
Right.
I do wonder, though, they do have a large homestand, a long homestand coming up after the All-Star break, which
right.
We'll see what happens then. But like the previous caller was talking about, it's where you sacrifice or trade Johnny Cueto to get something now, as opposed to the end of the season if he walks.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
And then we
that?
Get nothing for them.
How do you feel
and
about that?
That's it. Well, yeah, it's interesting because he certainly has that option. And even if they talk to him as the next few weeks roll along towards the trade deadline, you have two factors. One, if they talk to him, is he going to be honest? And if he is, will that opinion change by the end of the season? There's no guarantee, obviously.
No, he's not going to give up his right to opt out.
Exactly. And then number two, it's if they have any trade offers that come in before that time that may be too good to pass up. Even if they don't know what Johnny's going to do. So it's one of those things where if you know he's you're pretty confident he's going to walk at the end of the season and you know you're not going to make the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to get rid of him now. Now, if he came to you with a lock guarantee word that he was going to stay, that's another thing, but I don't think that's going to happen. So
no, why would he? I mean, why would he? Why would he give up that right? You never know what's going to happen. Why would he give up the right? He could do, like you say, give an indication, but why would he ever give up that right? There's no way to bind them to that. Why would he give up that right? Because, you know, the nature of the game today is make as much as you can as quickly as you can, and your career is over. So if he's got a shot in October to do it, at least to listen, he doesn't have to opt out, but he could get to the end of the season. His agent can feel out the market and say, all right, this is what's out there, and are you interested? And then he can make a call at that point.
He has 4 years left on his contract,
right.
So what do you think in terms of another club potentially coming to him with a longer contract? I mean, it could be a little bit more per year in value, but do you think he would move for a few million a year, or do you think he would move more for a 5 or 6 year contract as opposed to the 4 he has left now with the Giants?
Well, I think he could get comparable of what he's got, because the market is him and Arrieta. I think that's about it for free agent pitchers. You know, it's pretty sparse. But I think if you put him on the, you know, if he wants to pitch somewhere else, he'll do it. I don't think he's going to get less money unless he really, something gets crazy this year. I think he can get something comparable. But if I'm the Yankees or Red Sox or Houston, I'm not giving him a 6-year deal. There's no way in the world I'm going to do that. I think he's right where he should be with 4 more years at what he's got at his age and his ability. And frankly, I think, you know, baseball is a crazy sport, and there's always one team out there that's going to pay you. But if I'm Cueto, I would be very careful before I walked away from the rest of this contract.
All right. Well, thanks, Marty, for your time. I appreciate it.
All right. Very good. Good discussion. I appreciate that with Chad and Gilroy. Having a nice afternoon. Making ribs, smoking some ribs. Not bad. Not bad.
All right. So, not bad. Smoking ribs. That's right. So you could see, you know, Marty was like, oh, yeah, I don't think they're making the playoffs. I just think it'd be fun to make it interesting. But my point was more to the fact of, well, why are they going to risk not getting anything for Johnny Cueto for the slimmest of slim chances of getting into the playoffs? Get something for him now. I think the way it looks, most likely he's going to walk. He's already thrown out comments about it not being as fun of a clubhouse as Kansas City or Cincinnati was because of the lack of Latin players. He's commented that everyone kind of keeps to themselves and it's not as fun. He's had his, you know, mediocre struggles this year. He hasn't been the Johnny Cueto he was last year. And, you know, because of the Giants' poor performance this year, he may think that they're not going to be any better next year. So he might want to go to a contender anyway. So there's a lot of reasons why he's going to walk. And, of course, he can tell the Giants, yeah, I'm going to stay. But he's not legally bound to that. So he can change his mind at any time. And so if I'm the Giants, I got to take all trade offers seriously right now. And if they're horrible, you don't think you're getting a lot of value for him, then maybe you can take the chance at just going through the rest of the season and seeing what he does. But if there's anything remotely good out there that you get offered before the trade deadline, don't you agree you got to take it?
Absolutely. I think the Giants front office, I don't think they see a future for Cueto on their rotation anyways at this point. Wow. Sorry. Tied 1-1 now. Like Cueto, with his performance this season, he seems like the type of player that is more engaged when the stakes are higher and certain things are on the line. And the Giants aren't going to provide that for him now. And you'd rather get back a bunch of stuff instead of him walking. I see him as a Cub. I really do. And I want to see it. It doesn't have to happen just yet. Give him a few more starts in July here. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to see them trade him to Chicago, because after that, I think he's just wandering off to some American League team. I can see him signing some 4 or 5 year deal with an American League team, even at his age, and trying to just retire there. That was the most telling thing from his comments to me, that he wants to move to the American League. I think he's done with certain parts of the game. He just wants to focus on pitching, and he needs, you know, a different kind of challenge than he's had. And I think there's a bit of buyer's remorse with the Giants and signer's remorse with Cueto when it comes to, you know, their mutual contracts. And so he's going to walk. You might as well try to get a good outfield bat, maybe some good young arms. The Cubs seem like a decent fit. There's a few guys in their farm system I'd love to see. They're going to be fighting for it the rest of the way. Guys like John Lackey aren't performing. They only have Arrieta's okay, and Lester is their horse. Other than that, it hasn't really been good for them. So they need that proven veteran. So I say trade him. Give him a few more starts, though. Let him kind of try to build his value. Or if it seems like he's spiraling, get rid of him sooner, because he's not helping his trade value usually. He finally had a good start his last time out, where you felt confident in him gutting through, you know, 6 or 7 innings.
Yeah, that's another variable. And it's doubtful it would happen, but let's say he either has a severe injury or just something happens and he tanks the rest of the season. You know, way worse than he's been. So he finishes the season with a 5.5-6 ERA, something crazy like that. Or again, he injures himself. He completely destroys his trade value then, or his marketability and his offseason signing status. And he's getting paid, what, $21 million, I think, per year by the Giants right now?
Something
like that. Somewhere around there. And so if he hurts his marketability that much, you might find it hard-pressed for a team to offer him any more than that. Certainly not in length, more than 4 years that's remaining on his Giants contract. So, you know, I mean, I could see a situation like that. But again, I think that's so slim. The Giants just get what they can now. And I think Chicago is definitely a good fit for Cueto, certainly for the rest of this year. They're floating around 500. They're just a couple games back of the Brewers. And that division is so weak, so weak. I mean, if they were in the NL West, they'd be, freaking 12, 13, 14 games back of the Dodgers right now. And not even sniffing a division.
Yeah, that's why they're the perfect team, because he'll spark knowing that they have to turn it on for a pennant race. You know, the Nats aren't a good fit, and I don't think any of the American League teams are really a good fit right now, because the farm systems that they're working with doesn't seem to be as pleasing unless it's like Houston.
Yeah, I would say Houston is probably the most loaded. And the thing about them is they don't need to worry about the West. It's locked up. They're going to win it, no problem. But it's certainly, I mean, in these short series, especially that, you know, ALDS, five games, I could see Houston doing it. I could definitely see Houston offering quite a bit of prospects to the Giants to get that Cueto for the short series and then into the depth of the playoffs. So that would be interesting. The Yankees are another possibility, too, because they're kind of fighting there with the Red Sox in the East.
Yeah, they're a good team. Look, it goes back to, you know, what kind of season, though, are they going to have now, the Giants, going forward? They talked about, there was Larry Bear talked recently, that they're not looking to rebuild, that they're looking to reload. So you also have to wonder if the Giants will be looking for major league talent in return as opposed to just prospects. And one or two of these teams might have, you know, one of those guys that's just kind of on the cusp, been in AAA, been playing a bit in the bigs. You know, you have to wonder if major league talent's going to come back in a deal for Cueto, or a deal for anybody, because I mean he's far from the only one that is considered being traded this next month.
Yeah, he just seems to be the hot commodity. But you're absolutely right. There's other guys that are certainly on the block, and we'll see what happens with them. And the other interesting thing is Madison Bumgarner looks like he might be returning here after the All-Star break. He did pitch in Sacramento the other night. The line didn't look good, but we all know that's not what he was trying to do. He's just out there trying to throw, experiment. It's like his little spring training.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, you know, I went to the Hunter Pence game in San Jose. He played a few there. And Madison Bumgarner, his next two starts are going to be in San Jose because Sacramento is going to be on the road. So I haven't purchased tickets yet, and I'm sure there's still a few available. I might have been a little too late on the game, but I'm going to try and attend at least one of those. I think it'd be fun to go see him back in a San Jose Giants uniform in that tiny park.
That would be cool. It's I love that also about baseball, is that while a player like Bum is rehabbing, he can bounce from Sacramento to San Jose and say, like, they were going to be on an East Coast trip, he could have a final start in Richmond if it was needed. You know, I think that's one of the, like, quirks of baseball as opposed to other sports, you know, because there's so many levels of professional competition that they have the opportunity to expand and do these things. I don't know. It's just one of those things looking at baseball that I think is cool compared to other sports.
Well, it's neat. And also, you know, the San Jose Giants do a good job marketing their brand to the local community. And they always prop up the prospects who have come through their system to become major league stars. So outside of their stadium, they have these massive vinyl banners, right, of a clean-shaven Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford and Joe Panic and others that came through and played in San Jose for a year or two. And, you know, they have their years up there and everything. So it's pretty fun to now think that Madison Bumgarner is going to come back and actually pitch on that mound a couple of times. So it's definitely going to be quite a bit of a draw here in San Jose. But when Hunter Pence was here, it was very strange to see some of the locals really go crazy for him, like trying to stand up in the middle of the game while, you know, they're 6 feet away in the batter's box and just shoving cameras in his face and like going, Hunter, Hunter, hey, Hunter, hey, Hunter, Hunter, hey, Hunter, Hunter, Hunter. And of course, you know, he's ignoring them like he should. But it's like during the game, man, what the hell are you doing?
But it's just a practice game, man. He's a major league player.
Yeah, it's the starstruck attitude, I think, by some of these fans.
Yeah,
it's like, holy crap, dude, they're trying to rehab. They're not going to talk to you during a game.
Yeah, but he's down on my level now.
Yeah,
I'm single A, so is he.
I'm a single A fan.
Right?
Fan in training. Still haven't learned the proper etiquette of a game.
Right. That's not a knock on minor league fans. Like, support your minor league teams.
Oh,
please.
Absolutely. There's certain people, though. You just kind of go, how are you raised? All right, so you have in the notes here a lot of firsts and debuts for the young Giants so far.
Well, yeah, because we don't see it as much these last few years. There's been a certain core, and the guys that have been brought up or added on are usually veterans and tinkering and things like that. So it was interesting as I was just looking through to see how many firsts and debuts the Giants have had this year. Like, they've had five guys, Arroyo, Calixte, Jones, Wong, and Slater, all get their first hit. Marrero got his first homer, you'll remember, way back in April. Arroyo, Wong, and Slater also with theirs. And they've had seven total major league debuts this season. Arroyo, Ryder Jones, Wong, Slater, Chris Stratton, Kyle Crick, and Dan Slania. Like, it's funny, the pitchers, none of them really have firsts, so I couldn't say anything about their debuts. But right, they've already had seven guys make their debuts this year, and there's bound to be a few more on the way at some point. It was just interesting to note, because I didn't have a chance to compare it to past years, but I do not remember all these firsts through the winning years. Last year, 2014, you know, 2012, it was usually older guys. So it's nice to see these young guys, and especially now while they're winning some games, start to play better as teammates and be there to for the veterans that have been there to lean on. Because, you know, guys like Slater, I mean, he's the one that jumps out. The guy has grabbed the left field job.
Oh, yeah.
And there was so many firsts before him, and finally somebody decided to stay and hang with it. You know, so it's just interesting to note that there's so many young guys, and we're going to see a ton more. And it's okay. Like, Marty was talking about how they'd have to go 60 and 18 or something like that. And, you know, like, they're going to play spoiler. And it's going to be the young kids trying to do their things and prove things as certain parts get traded off. So we might as well enjoy that part. So it's fun, you know. It's fun that there's been that many, you know, first times and debuts so far this season.
Oh, no, it's been that's one of the bright things, or the silver linings for this season is, you know, if the Giants were competitive this year, you wouldn't see half of these players coming up. And we would rather have that, of course. But at least we can see some of these young guys come up. And you never know if one of these guys is going to be one of those future stars, the future Crawford or Panic or Posey. We don't know. You know, I was looking at Aaron Judge the other day, because the guy is just, I mean, he's your prototypical video game player, isn't he? I mean, he's 6 foot six, 270 pounds or whatever, and he can hit the ball 500 feet. I mean, he is a video game character.
He's the definition of a brick shithouse. That's him.
Oh, man. Oh, did you see that picture of him standing on second next to Altuve?
Yeah.
Oh, and MLB captioned it, not Photoshopped.
Hello, I would like you to meet my son.
Yeah. It is so silly looking. But I was looking at Aaron Judge, and you know, last year he came up and he hit the cover off the ball, not for a good average. And right now, though, he's a Triple Crown contender. He's leading in everything. I think he was like 2 points behind an average, so he's right there. He was drafted 32nd in the 2013 draft by the Yankees, and so I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's fine. And you hear about that. I was like, oh yeah, where did the Giants draft that year? And so I looked, and it was number 23 or 25. Anyway, it was ahead of Judge, and it was Christian Arroyo that year, and. Oh. It's just interesting, because I'm not saying yet that the Giants, you know, missed out on something there, because we don't know how Arroyo is going to eventually end up. He can end up being a superstar in this league after a little more seasoning. We don't know. But I would say, given their outfield deficits over the past however many years, and their left field deficit since Bonds left, I mean, we're going on 10, 11 years now of not having a consistently solid to even average major league left fielder.
And a different one every opening day. There's been a different one.
Exactly. And you just kind of wonder. And again, I'm not saying Arroyo is a bad player, not at all. But what if they had drafted Judge that year, and he was up this year playing left field for the Giants?
Oh, my Whoa. Goodness.
That would have been incredible.
He might be the first right-handed hitter to be able to knock it into the cove, because, I mean, some of his balls, they go. I was watching a spring training game, and he hit one in Tampa, and, like, I immediately joked that it landed on the highway that was going by, because when he hits them, I mean, the exit velocity is, like, high. It just shoots off his bat. Makes a different sound than just about anybody else. But Stanton, he's almost like a clone of Stanton, but
yeah,
bigger.
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah, but bigger. Ugh. And the kid's only like, I don't know, 23 years old or something like that. I mean,
yeah, he grew up a Giants fan.
No, I did not know that.
Yes, really? I totally thought your lead was to get there. He did. He grew up somewhere in the Bay Area. I don't remember where, or somewhere in California. I'm gonna try to find it by now. Yeah. And he was a Giants fan, so that would have been a logical fit for him as well. It's a shame, but it's not.
No way.
Like you said, who knows? He could be a flash in the pan, and you know, Arroyo could be there forever. But I don't think so.
Well, speaking of Aaron Judge, he is an all-star, and he will be participating in the Home Run Derby this year. And, of course, the only Giant to make it as a starter, as expected, is Buster Posey. No surprise there. He's been leading the world of catchers in most statistical categories, so congratulations to Buster. You know, not a single Giant starter is going to be on that team. We know that. Last year, Cueto started the all-star game.
Oh, my God, he did? I don't even remember that.
Yeah. He started last year's All-Star game. And he didn't do so well, and they lost. But anyway, and that's when the Giants started tanking, so everyone puts it on Cueto because, you know, superstition.
Cueto, man, jeez.
So I don't know if there's going to be another Giant that makes it as a reserve. I highly doubt it. Did they announce the reserves already, by the way?
Yeah, I forgot to look. Announced everything. Yeah. And I think Nooney was just the only got guy the five shot.
Yeah, they just got the five-man thing, and I know the Giants aren't in that. So, I mean, yeah, the Giants are going to have one representative this year, which is it's amazingly sad, but it's not to be unexpected, I guess. They don't have anyone else that can really qualify, It is what it is. But one of my favorite things to watch every year, of course, is the Home Run Derby, and we do have the big guys in there, like an Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. I'm really excited to see those guys. And even as a Giants fan, I'm really intrigued to see Cody Bellinger. Yeah, this kid has come out of nowhere, and he swings out of his shoes. He's a little beanpole of a kid.
Yeah, and his bat whips through there so fast.
That's what it is. He has that whipping action. I mean, he's kind of a cross between like a Vladimir Guerrero and Bryce Harper. You know, he has all of that rage in his swing, but he's a lefty, and he gets that whip action like Harper does, and he can hit the ball. Obviously, a ton. He's got 24 bombs so far. And then to round out the competition, they got Miguel Sano, Gary Sanchez, which I was like, really? Charlie Blackman? Seriously? Come on. That's just like, what? Moustakas and Justin Bour. I don't know, man. Those last four, just it's like, ugh. You know, one of them may sneak on us. But you know, I'm really excited to see those top three. But I don't know if a Giant will ever be in this Home Run Derby. Barry Bonds was, of course, back in 2007. During his last year, but there hasn't been a Giant since, and I don't think there will be for some time.
I can tell you the one that could fly under the radar as a possibility is Belt. I mean, the guy's already got 16 home runs this year, which is probably more than a couple of the guys on this list. And
you put Belt in Colorado, and what would he have now? He'd easily be over 23, 24, 25 home runs, easily.
That's exactly it. So, you know, it's funny. He's actually having a great power season so far under the radar, but nobody's going to notice it because they suck so bad.
Because they suck so bad and his average is horrible.
Yeah, because he's so streaky as it is.
But, again, you look across.
I didn't mean to bring around him there, but he's a guy that's fine. Yeah, he's a guy that could. Say next year he starts off and has, like, 20 homers by this time, I could see him as a guy getting in it. But other than that, there's nobody in the future.
No. There's no one.
No. Maybe we got to sign somebody, you know, see if the Giants, because, I mean, you know, Marty said it. It's a league of, like, bopping home runs now, and the Giants don't do that. They don't have the guys in the middle of the lineup to do that anymore.
It's really telling. They're attributing the home run explosion to the way the ball is stitched and wound again. I don't know. I don't know what's causing it. I don't know if it's steroids. I don't know if it's a couple ballparks are smaller. I don't know if it's the ball being wound. I don't know if it's global warming. I don't know. But all I know is that almost every team has significantly increased the home run production. Overall, as major leagues, they're hitting more home runs than they ever have, even during the steroid era, which is baffling to me. I don't know how that's happening, but it is, except for the Giants. They're like the only team that hasn't increased. It's unbelievable. They're like apparently immune to the superpower that everyone else has been bestowed with. So the gap, that power gap is now even increasing. Yeah, it is. Yep. It's the great equalizer, and the Giants have to fight, claw, and scratch for every run. They have to get those two out hits. They have to, you know, put a few guys on in order to score, while you know, the Astros or the Yankees or whomever can just put a guy on, you know, bloop in a blast, and it's two runs, and just like that. And it just, the Giants aren't capable of doing that. So, you know, we fans have always chided ownership for not going after those power hitters, but, you know, after this year's debacle in left field and the power outage that continues to widen the gap between them and the rest of the teams, and just to see the run production in terms of home runs, runs per home run, that kind of thing, they have to understand, they have to solve this problem. They got to start going after power hitters. They got to open up the checkbook. And we'll talk about it, obviously, in a future show when we fully understand outfielder and corner fielder availability this free agent offseason. But it's something that I don't think they can immediately address with their farm system, that's for sure. Not at all.
It's a new day, and the Giants kind of have to – it's weird that the Giants have to catch up. But, you know, they won championships kind of in a throwback fashion.
They did.
You know, it was pitching and defense. So, you know, it's good, though. At least they're playing well right now. So we have some good positive things to talk about lately. It's a lot better than a few weeks ago when it was like, oh, man, the season's over. So, you know, it's a lot more fun to have these positives to think about. You know, as you're talking about, they won six straight games. You know, you want to roll into who's hot on the Giants?
Yeah. Yeah, go for it.
Well, I'm going to throw out – I noticed, and this has to go with their winning, Denard Span and Joe Panik's been hitting second a lot. The whole top of the order has been a lot better. Span hit .374 in June. Mm-hmm. So after he came back from his injury, he started hitting the ball. He's got two leadoff homers in the past month. He'd been on base a ton, and he scored like 15 runs in the month of June. And Joe Panik's hitting .356, and he had three pops of his own. And he walked 10 times in June. He only struck out 8 times. Seems like they've been in the middle of everything, and that's kind of why the Giants have been scoring more runs over the past, you know, couple weeks, is the top of the order is finally getting together, something we were asking for 2 months ago.
Yeah, Denard Span has been a huge spark plug for this team. Even his last 7 games during this 6-game winning streak, he's hitting .400, 8-for-20. So yeah, he's getting on base. He's doing great, and Joe Panik has been up there as well. Brandon Belt, .304 in his last 7, but he's 2 bombs and 8 RBI. So that's fantastic. He certainly was a contributing factor to Sunday's game with going 3-for-4, a few RBI and that important hit, and then the home run later in the game.
And the beautiful catch, too.
Sorry. Oh, the beautiful. No, the defense, the game, that's a great point there. Their defense was on fire with Slater and Crawford and Belt doing the over-the-shoulder catch. Just beautiful defense. There's no doubt that they're timely hitting, but especially their defense won that game on Sunday. It was fantastic. I mean, it's fun to watch when they're like that, you know?
It's they're having fun again.
Backyard ball, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And then something I thought would never happen this year, but right. Major League Baseball awarded the Giants bullpen with the Pen of the Week award, which is like, wait, what? How is that possible? But obviously that contributed to the Giants' 6-game winning streak. They had 25 2/3 innings pitched, only gave up 3 earned runs, had 3 saves, and only gave up 15 hits. So they were pretty locked down. And a part of that, of course, is you anointed them, or him, the closer of the future, Sam Dyson.
Yes.
Had 2 saves, and of course no runs and 3 2/3 innings pitched. And he's having those clean innings. He's having those innings we wanted Melanson to have. Just 1-2-3, 1-2-3.
Yeah, like on Sunday, the first, I think it was 1 pitch, 1 out on the first batter of the ninth. And I don't think Melanson's done that yet this year. It's like we never feel like, whoo, right away. You know, he seemed, even with a runner on base, I think Sunday, Dyson, whatever he lost, he seems to have found it. And part of the reason that the bullpen won bullpen of the week is they had a 14-inning game against Colorado and an 11-inning game against Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And they shut that both those teams down, you know, in the extra innings. Corey Guerin, another guy, he's like spotless when it comes to extra inning games. He's the guy that comes in and does it. So you're right. I never thought we'd be talking about a good Giants bullpen, but that's what they've been this week.
They have. It shows you how important it can be. You get those late hits, but then, as you pointed out, 2 extra inning games, it's really important. Eventually to get the win, but in the meantime, you got to hold them at bay. You got to shut them down and put zeros across the board. Because one run is the end of the game. Because, you know, didn't they do one of those? Yeah, Pittsburgh was on the road, so you got to shut them down in the home half, right? Because they win if it's a walk off if they score. So, Yeah, kudos to the Giants bullpen. Who would have thought that?
There's no late runs. I mean, you look at that last week, you know, the Giants gave up 2 runs, 3 runs, 3 runs, 5 runs, but they scored 13. 1 run and 3 runs. Like, there's no leakiness at the end. Those 3 runs aren't turning into 5 runs anymore and is giving them the chance to have those late hits. It's good to see new guys doing it too, and Dyson and Guerin.
So there are a few guys who are a little cold right now, and they're a bit of a concern. One of them is Brandon Crawford. And I don't know if this is just a remnant of the shoulder injury he had earlier in the year or what, or something else is bugging him. We always thought, okay, he hits around 260, that's fantastic, but he's way below that, and he's also only 2 for his last 19. His defense still seems to be very solid to stellar, but he just hasn't been the Brandon Crawford of old, and we're almost to the All-Star break here, and he's having a pretty miserable season at the plate. It's a little bit shocking, to be honest. He still has time to inflate those numbers to normal levels, but I'm a little concerned, especially after the year he had last year, which was so good offensively.
Yeah, it seemed like he turned a corner, and now he's 2 of his last 21 because he's 0-for-2 already today. Okay. I have a thought on Crawford as a whole, him not being hot. I think it's kind of a throwaway season for him. There's been a lot of distractions between WBC and then familial things and all sorts of things. And the team's out of it, so there's no need to be that, like, strong rock in the center. So his focus might have slipped a little bit, and I don't fault him for it. It's human, you know? So I think we're going to get some stretches where he'll tear the cover off the ball and go, like, 5-for-10, but we're going to end up with a lot of these 2-for-20 stretches as well.
Yeah, you mentioned familial things, of course, the death of his sister-in-law and the injury and the playing the WBC and the fact that they're out of it this year. It's a possibility that maybe mentally he's not 100% there, and that's always hanging in the air. Obviously, he's not going to be replaced at this point. He's just going to continue to go out there every day and see what he can do. But it would be nice to see him get into a little bit of a hot streak and kind of get those numbers back up, just because I personally like the guy and really want to see him succeed, because he's been such a rock for the Giants for the last 3 or 4 years.
I was going to say Crawford seems more frustrated at the plate than in years past when he's in a funk. And so it seems like it's harder for him to pull out of them when they happen.
Maybe he needs to just shave his head.
The women of San Francisco would riot.
Shock the ladies, exactly. Shock the ladies into just to pay attention to him and go, what did he do? The beautiful locks are gone. It'd be pretty funny. Then Hunter Pence, he's, again, not having a great season. He's a little cold lately. I don't know what he's doing today, but he's 3 for his last 17. And for a pretty solid guy offensively for so many years and such an iron man in terms of consecutive games played, and he never got hurt. Now he's getting hurt all the time. And I just think age and injuries have been catching up to him, and it's really affecting his performance. He's not the guy that the Giants need him to be right now.
Yeah, he could be a surprise trade piece if he felt like he wanted to go somewhere, because I think he's got rights on that. I'm not sure. But I don't know if he has a no trade or something like that. But he could be a sneaky guy that we don't expect to get traded that might get traded by the deadline, because I don't think the Giants see him as a future in right field. I think even next year on the final year of his contract, they might want to relegate him to more of a bench role and see if they can get more production. But then again, he goes on tears and he hits high fastballs out of the park every now and then. So
yeah.
He's at the end of today, right? Yeah, exactly. He totally caught up to one, like, shoulder high.
Yeah, hit it to right center field out of the strike zone. But that's Hunter Pence for you.
Yeah, and if he can catch up to it, that's when you know he's good. But he doesn't catch up to him as much anymore.
No, he doesn't. All right, well, coming up, they have one game going on right now in Detroit. It's 1-1 in the bottom of the fourth. The Tigers do have 2 runners on and nobody out, so hopefully Matt Cain will be able to get out of this one without too much damage. But after that, they have 2 more in Detroit. Then they come home for 3 against Miami. I almost said Florida. I'm so used to saying that still. Against Miami, and then, of course, they hit the All-Star break. But, you know, I'm going to say this. If they win 4 out of the 6, which is very possible, Detroit's had a pretty poor season. Miami's not doing very well, plus the Giants will be at home. So, you know, winning 4 out of 6 ain't too hard. But if they do that, at least they'll have a little bit of that momentum on top of the 6-game winning streak going into the All-Star break. I just hope it's nothing like, you know, they lose 5 out of 6, go back into those doldrums, and start the second half with a bit of a sad face on their
yeah, I don't see it happening. There. I think this team's having too much fun right now. I'm more scared of after the All-Star break, they start with 3 in San Diego, and I hope they don't come back from the break like dead. I hope everybody's re-energized. I could see them, though, like you said, 4 out of 6 this week. It wouldn't shock me at all. You know, they're hitting the ball enough lately to compensate if anything goes wrong on the mound.
Yeah, that's the thing. Their offense has been really picking it up lately, so, and hopefully they can do that against Detroit. Looks like Matt Cain did get an out there, so that's good. Still 2 guys on. So I think that's about it. It'll wrap us up for episode 127, right? We're at 127, that's what I said earlier?
Six.
126, there we go. 126 of the Torture Cast. We're hoping Willie's going to come back on a show one of these days. His streaming and travel schedule has been a little bit insane, and Ben, of course, seems to always be working when we want to record. And we're trying to get these guys on for you, but Eric and I are very passionate about this, and we're always going to be here for you guys. No matter,
I'm watching.
We'll
the
cry
game
with you. We'll cheer with you. We'll laugh with you. Exactly. Right. I won't give up on these guys. It's still fun. It's still baseball. I like going to spring training and watching two random teams that I don't even give a crap about. It's because it's baseball. So right. We're always going to be there for you guys. We're not going to drop off because they're having a bad season. But you can follow them individually at Willie Dills and at Fried Duck. That's with 2 D's. You can follow Eric at 2 Out Hits. That's with the number 2. You can follow me at ChadK21. You can also follow us collectively at TortureCast. I think we're just shy of 1,000 followers. So a few of you out there who haven't followed us, give us a little push of the subscribe button or the follow button there. That'd be great. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TortureCast. That's where we post all of our articles and blogs and episodes and funny little things. And Eric and I are somewhat active on the page, www.torturecast.com, posting all that stuff for you guys. And you can find all of our episodes up on iTunes and Stitcher and other RSS feeds in the podcasting universe. So, Eric, do you have anything to pimp or anything to shill out there?
No, not a bit. Just I'm ready for the All-Star break as well, because it'll be nice to watch some, like you said, the Derby and stuff like that. You know, the Giants are fun right now. Let's just hope it lasts. I got nothing to pimp for myself, though.
All right, man. Well, to everyone out there probably listening to this after the 4th of July, but if you're not, have a safe 4th. Don't blow off your fingers. Don't drink and drive. Watch the Giants. Have fun. Be safe with your families. And we'll see you next time for episode 127. Until next time, a-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.